We've had a baptism series going out of the book of Proverbs, looking at some of the Proverbs for parenting especially, because there's much in the book of Proverbs about parenting. This morning we turn to Proverbs chapter 4. In the last sermon we looked at the end of Proverbs 4 on the importance of addressing the heart in our parenting. This morning we're going to look at verses 5 through 7 of Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to read the entire chapter, Proverbs 4. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, for seeking not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. The text, as I said, is verses 5 through 7. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We are reminded this morning that when God gives children, He does give a great blessing. The blessing of children is not that having children makes our lives complete. We can and we do have complete lives without children because we have Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. So that's not the blessing of children. It's not all the enjoyable times, because along with enjoyable times there are also hard and difficult times. And not just getting up in the middle of the night when they won't sleep or they're sick, but dealing with their sinful natures that have come from us. So the blessing of children is not those things. The blessing of children is this: God is pleased to work in the line of generations. God is pleased to save his children from our children. And he is pleased to use us as parents as means, and us as a church as means, and us as family as means for the instruction of our children. And then we are reminded that with the gift of children comes a great calling and responsibility. That's part of the baptism form as well, isn't it? The parents are reminded of that calling to teach and instruct their children. There are many things that we as parents teach our children. There are things like when they're old enough to get dressed themselves, to put their shoes on, and eventually to tie their shoes. There are things like throwing a baseball, or maybe hunting, if those are your interests. How to eat by themselves. All of these are great milestones when our children are growing up. But there's other things too. We want to teach them good manners. We want to teach them to sit in church so that they can worship God. There are so many things. This barely scratches the surface of what we as parents teach our children when they get older. We teach them to work. We warn them about the paths of wickedness. And we think about all of these things that we must teach our children. It may be overwhelming. But it's overwhelming because sometimes we forget the main thing, the principal thing, the chief thing. That's what Proverbs 4, 5 through 7 teaches us. When it comes to the teaching of our children, what is the main thing that we are to teach them? What's the one thing that we must teach them? And the Word of God comes to us and says the principal thing is wisdom, and along with that wisdom, understanding. So this flows out of some of the things we've looked at already in our short series. The first passage we looked at was Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. And we looked at the importance of that training. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, we saw that emphasis upon the heart, and that teaching and instructing were to aim at their hearts and their worship of God. But now, as we teach them, what are we to teach them? And the Word of God here says the principal thing is wisdom. It's not all that complicated. That doesn't make it easy, but it's not complicated. We teach our children wisdom. This is what Solomon was doing in the passage that we're looking at. You will take notice of the fact that Solomon is addressing his son here and his children. In verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Verse 3, he relates how he was instructed. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. And now Solomon is doing the same thing with his own son and with his own children. What we have here is the ability in the book of Proverbs, especially in the beginning chapters, to listen to a father giving instruction to his son. So there's a word here for you children and you young people as well, as Solomon is instructing his son, but also there's instruction here for us as parents, how we are to instruct our children and what the principal thing is. But one other application for us as we get started this morning. The school year has begun for some of you. It will be beginning this coming week. We have in our congregation not only students in our Christian schools, but also teachers in the Christian schools. And we remember that our teachers stand in the place of parents. And, of course, those teachers are educating our children. And we're thankful for that. But even for them, what's the principal thing that they're after in the work that they do as they stand in the place of parents? It's this: wisdom. So that could be and ought to be the focus of a new school year as well. wisdom. So with that in mind, we consider the principal thing in parenting. That's our theme this morning. The principal thing in parenting. Notice first what it is, secondly, how we get it, and then finally, why we seek it. Well, as we said, the principal thing is wisdom. But along with wisdom, the text speaks of understanding. And this understanding is not something separate from wisdom. It's part of wisdom. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, there are three things that go together: knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Where there's wisdom, there's also knowledge and understanding. So here in the text, we want to understand what this understanding is, which is an aspect of wisdom. Understanding is this. It's the ability to perceive reality. It's the ability to understand things as they really are without any kind of distortion. So it's beyond knowledge. Knowledge is what you know about something, but understanding goes deeper. And it understands why things are the way that they are. We can use this analogy. Many of us have computers or tablets or phones in our homes. Sometimes they don't work properly. We know when there's a problem with it, and we might take it to someone else to get fixed. And we don't expect them to tell us, well, your device isn't working properly. And you might say to them, I know that already. I come to you because you have understanding. You have understanding of the inner workings of a computer, the inner workings of a tablet, the inner workings of a phone, so that you can fix it. That's understanding. So I know that it doesn't work properly. We know in the midst of this world that there's sin. We know in the midst of this world that there's all kinds of trouble, and there's affliction, and there's hurt and pain and suffering. But understanding goes deeper so that there's an understanding of why this exists. It's an explanation of things. In the Bible, we find certain men who lacked understanding. I thought, for example, of Job's three friends. They were miserable friends because they understood that Job had suffering in his life, but their understanding of why he had suffering was wrong. They said, Job, you must have some great sin in your life. That's why you're going through this. And Job was saying, no, there's not. It's not that I'm not a sinner, but I don't have some great sin. God's not punishing me for sin. The reason for suffering in Job's life was so that God would be glorified in the fact that Job would remain faithful unto God as God worked that in him. So those were men who lacked understanding. Understanding, then, is seeing all of life in connection to God and His Word. It's seeing all of life from that perspective. Now recognize that our children and we want to see life from a very different perspective. We want to see it from our own perspective. The perspective of our sin, a very self-centered perspective. So that children, as they grow up, they have this understanding. I want what I want, and I should have whatever I want. If my brother or sister has what I want, they should give it to me. If I see something in the store that I want, I should beg mom until she gets me what I want. If I don't like what mom is saying to me, then I say no because it's not what I want. Their understanding of things is very simple, but that's the folly that is bound up within them. And the Word of God says no. Part of the wisdom that our children need, or an aspect of that wisdom, is understanding. They need to understand why they sin. They need to understand that there is sin in this world because of Adam, who fell into sin. They need to understand that there is suffering in this world because there is sin. They need to understand as well that there is a God who rules over all things, and that there is a God who has sent his Son to save his people from their sins. And thus all things are working together for their good. It's a part of what we are to teach as parents when we teach our children wisdom, as we have an aim at their understanding of all things in the light of God's truth. What God says, what he says about sin, what he says about this world, what he says about our hearts, what he says about who he is, what he says about the only way of salvation in Jesus Christ. So that they would have an understanding of things as they get older and look at their lives and the lives of others around them with that understanding. So part of this wisdom is giving our children knowledge, teaching them what is found here in God's Word, not only the stories of the Bible, but as they get older, the truths of God's Word, so that they would understand themselves and understand this world and understand who God is and what he is doing, all with an aim at wisdom. So we've looked at understanding. Now we look at what wisdom is. Wisdom takes this knowledge and understanding a step further. Wisdom is living in obedience to the comprehensive vision of a God who has redeemed us in Jesus Christ. Wisdom is living life out of the reality of God's truth. It's taking what God says in his word, it's taking this knowledge and understanding and applying it to life so that we do what God calls us to do. It's living out of that knowledge and that truth. That comes out in the book of Proverbs itself. So go back to verse 4 in Proverbs 4, where Solomon here is speaking of the instruction that his father David gave to him. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. So do what I tell you to do. And do that because the commandments I bring to you come from God himself. If we go back to chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. The idea there is that there's a living out of this knowledge and understanding, and then this wisdom, living in this wisdom. Let's understand a few things about this wisdom. This wisdom that is obedience to God and his word, applying truth to life and living it. This wisdom is found in God and God alone. That's true because God himself is a God of wisdom. Wisdom is an attribute of God. If you want to know wisdom, you look to God himself because he is all wise. That's important to understand because we live in a world that claims to have wisdom, but the Bible says when you look at that world, what you have to see is folly. Folly is the exact opposite of wisdom. Folly leads to destruction, and that's what you find in the world around us as well. The source of folly is Satan. And this false wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic, as we heard recently in our series on the book of James. What is found in this world is all contrary to the word of God. The fool says in his heart that there is no God, Psalm 14. He does not live in the reality of who God is. The fool lives to serve himself and to follow his own appetites and his own desires. But let us remember that the book of Proverbs tells us that folly is bound in the hearts of our children. There is folly in our children, and there's folly in us as well. This is why we need to remember and know that out there in the world, in my own sinful nature, there's only found folly. But God, He is the source of wisdom. And He reveals wisdom most fully in Jesus Christ, who is called, actually in the book of Proverbs, wisdom. That's Proverbs chapter 8. And God reveals the life of wisdom here in His Word. Now, that God is wise means this. God is a God who does everything for the glory of His own name. He knows the best way to glorify Himself. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing in life when there are disappointments and things don't go as we plan to say, yes, God is wise. And His way is right and good, and He chose the best way to glorify Himself in my life. But that's wisdom. He knows the best way in His rule over everything, and in His eternal decree, He knows the best way to glorify Himself. Now, God comes to us and says, my way that I've set forth in my word, this is the way of wisdom always. No exceptions. He said wisdom is living out of the truth of God's word. It's living in obedience to it. What does that boil down to? It boils down to this. Love God and love the neighbor. Parents, when we teach our children, it's not complicated. Yes, there are many other things we have to teach them and so on, but this is the goal, this is the focus, this is the main thing, this is the principal thing. Wisdom, and wisdom is this, love God and love the neighbor. And when you love God, and this is what we tell our children, children, when you love God, you're going to obey Him. So now you disobeyed Him. Repent of that. Confess that. Say you're sorry for that. Pray to God about that. But now walk in the way of wisdom. Love God and obey God. That's the main thing we teach them, so that when they disobey us, and we have to remind them of that, and we have to discipline them for that, we point them always not just to me. You have to do what I tell you to do. You have to do what I tell you to do because God says so. Love God. Obey God. When you love God, you will obey Him. That's how we live under the authority of God in our lives in the way of wisdom. And then, love others. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your classmates at school. Love your friends at church. Love everybody who is around you. This is the wisdom of God. Again, the folly of the world is very different. No, first me, not God. First me, not others. First me, my needs, my wants. Oh, maybe once in a while I can do something for others, but in the end, even that is for me. All of that is folly. Beloved, this is the valuable wisdom that must be imparted to our children at home and at school. God's truth. Teach them this understanding of what reality is and then how to live out of that reality. May that be the focus in our homes, the focus in our parenting. Love God. Love each other. If you've got a marker board in your home or something on the fridge, you can write it on there. And this week, as a reminder, this is what I teach. And children, this is what you are to do because God Himself calls us to walk in this way of wisdom. And then teachers at the school, this must be the focus as well. get wisdom and get understanding. Set that understanding and wisdom of God before the students in school. This is what we are called to teach, the principal thing, wisdom. How do we get it? That's an important question as we look at the text, because the text is a command. It's a command from son or a father to his son. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. Love her. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So the question arises, how do we get this wisdom, and how do we get this understanding? That's an important question for you children and young people as well. How do we get it? There's no doubt that wisdom is a gracious gift of God to all of His people. Proverbs 2 reminds us of that. If you go back to Proverbs 2, verses 6 and 7. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So the source of this wisdom is God Himself. We said earlier that God is wisdom. It's one of His attributes. Part of what that means is that He is the source of this wisdom. Our children don't have wisdom unless God gives them wisdom, just like we as adults don't have wisdom unless God gives us this wisdom. Wisdom is the good gift of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a blessing that comes to us as a result of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. What Christ has earned for us, among many other things, is this gift of wisdom, and our children desperately need this heaven-sent gift of wisdom. And that's why it is that even as parents, we pray fervently that our children would have wisdom. But at the same time, God is pleased to give this gift through our seeking, desiring, hungering, and thirsting for it. The idea is we don't just sit back and wait for God to give us this wisdom. On the other hand, the idea here is not, well, you need to do something to get it. The idea is God gives it to all those who are His children, and He increases that wisdom and that understanding and all that is part of it in the way of our seeking for it. And just think how that all fits together in the life of the child of God. So as we get older, we come to understand that we lack wisdom, that we are prone to folly, the folly of this world, the sin of this world. But God, He gives us that understanding that we lack this and that we need it. He does that when He regenerates us, when the Holy Spirit changes our hearts. And He does that when He gives the gift of faith, so that our eyes are open to what we really are and what we lack and what we need. And therefore, when the Holy Spirit works in us, we have a longing and a desire to live for the glory of God, to do what is right before Him, to follow His word, which all is wisdom. So Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, works in us this seeking, this hungering, this thirsting for this gift of wisdom, so that we would grow in wisdom. Maybe just to drive home that point, understand that those who are bound up in folly and have no wisdom from God, it's not that they want wisdom. They want a wisdom, but not God's wisdom. They're in the blindness of the folly of this world, and they do not seek after that. So this is a command that comes in the line of generations. This is a command that comes in the church. This is a command from a godly father to his son. And he says to his son, "Son, get understanding, get wisdom, seek after this, and do it." Because there's nothing more valuable in all of life than this wisdom. You see that emphasis throughout the book of Proverbs. You go back again to Proverbs 2. The first five verses there. It's almost as if the text we're looking at this morning compacts all of what's in Proverbs 2 or much of what's in there. But here in Proverbs 2, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Seek her. That's the command of a father to his son, knowing that this is valuable. Just think how valuable certain things are. Not even according to money. But if your child's blanket that they always sleep with at night and they can't go to bed without it is lost, think about how you turn the house upside down. And you'll call your moms and dads and everybody you know where you've been recently to find out where that blanket is or that last pacifier is, because you know your child won't sleep without it. Think of that kind of searching, because it's that valuable to you. But then you can think about things that have value to you according to possessions that you have. It speaks there of silver. Another passage, it speaks of rubies and gold and compares wisdom to that and says wisdom's more valuable than all of that. When we see and understand that, we're going to seek for that. We're going to long for that. We're going to long for that for us and for our children and for our young people as well. This one in other passages as well, Proverbs 3, verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." You want this wisdom because there's happiness to be found in that. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. "My son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding." So again, that emphasis on the command, seek after this wisdom. But we should see and understand as well that seeking after wisdom is not easy for us at times. Later in Proverbs 4, it reminds us what we're prone to seek after. It's the world and the things of this world, the path of the wicked. The warning in verse 14, "Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." So as parents, we come to our children and say, everything you see out there, all the wickedness, the vileness that's there, don't seek after that. The end of all of that is destruction. Don't seek that. But instead, seek the way of wisdom. As parents, then, what we're called to do is to warn our children of the false wisdom, of all that is found in this world, and that our children then are to seek the true wisdom that comes from God, because it is so precious. And parents, if you don't see how precious wisdom is, you're not going to impart that to your children either. Do you see how precious wisdom is? Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that take lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. That's wisdom. How could we not desire something that is described in that way? And that's what we as parents set before our children, the beauty, the glory, the value of this wisdom. So we call our children to get, to seek, to hunger for, to thirst for true wisdom. And now, children and young people, we should always be listening, but you should especially be listening now, because this is the calling of the Word of God that comes to you. This is most important for you, not all A's at school, although if you have the ability, that's a good thing. But there's something more valuable, wisdom, walking in God's ways and living that in your life. There's something more valuable than making money and growing bank accounts because you might want to save for a car. And not just any car, but the car. Or you may want to save for college so that you can earn more money and have certain things that you would want to have. But remember, more valuable than all of those things is the gift of wisdom. So seek after that wisdom. Pray for that wisdom. And that's the question for us. Are we seeking after it? Are we praying for it? There are two means that God uses to give us this wisdom. So if we're seeking it, where are we going to find it? Well, first in God Himself, so that means pray. We have wisdom, we grow in wisdom in the way of prayer. That reminds us of what we considered some time ago in our series on the book of James, James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The idea here isn't, well, maybe there's a few of you in the congregation here who are lacking wisdom, and if you do, and especially children, then pray for that. No, the idea is we all lack wisdom. None of us is perfect in wisdom. So pray for it. And so that's what we ought to do as parents for our children. Pray that God would give them wisdom. Children and young people, if you have a notebook in which you write down certain things you're going to pray about, here's one of the important things to write in that notebook about what you're going to pray about. Wisdom. And you moms and dads, when you pray before you go to bed at night, kids pray before they go to bed and they ask for wisdom. You pray before you go to bed at night and pray for your children. Pray that your children would have this wisdom of God. So we pray for it. Second thing, we understand that this wisdom is found right here in the Word of God. We sang out of Psalm 19 just earlier in Psalter number 40 that the Word of God has the power to make us wise. What a power is found in the Word of God. That means then that if we're going to grow in wisdom and our children are going to grow in wisdom, we need to be seeking the wisdom of the Word of God. There's many things that are important about that. First is this. Parents, remember, in all of your parenting, trust the power of the Word of God and bring that Word to your children. Bring the Word to them. It's not just about you. Teach them to obey God. And when they don't, teach them about the saving work of Jesus Christ. Bring the Word of God to your children because there is found wisdom. Secondly, this emphasizes the importance of being in the Word, reading the Word. It emphasizes the importance of family worship and talking about that Word. Not only so there's knowledge and then understanding of what reality is, but then also wisdom. How is this Word to be lived out? And that's part of what we talk about and should talk about in our family worship. Along with that, here's the importance of reading the Word of God individually. There's wisdom to be found in it. Children, young people, read the Word of God. Go to that Word. we find it to be a valuable resource. Maybe there are other books you read for school, and there's pleasure reading you do. If we read those things, shouldn't we open our Bibles and read the Word of God? So let us do that. Even when we're young, we can understand the Scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit. Read the Word of God. Be in the Word, because wisdom is found there. This is how we grow in that wisdom: prayer and reading God's Word. The final thing that we look at this morning is why we ought to seek it. This wisdom is the principal thing in our parenting. Why do we seek this wisdom? Well, we seek this wisdom because it is good for us. The text says that essentially in verse 6. It says, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom preserves and keeps you. It preserves and keeps from the way, the path that leads to destruction. That's the way of folly. The way of folly and the way of this world always leads to destruction. Wisdom keeps us from turning onto that path that we desire in our sinful flesh, but wisdom keeps us from that. The wisdom of God worked within us. Not only that, but what we read in Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 2 as well tells us that there's true joy and happiness to be found in the way of wisdom. Don't misunderstand that. That doesn't mean, well, if I'm reading God's Word and I'm praying for wisdom and I'm growing in wisdom and I'm seeking after wisdom, that doesn't mean my life will be smooth and I'll get everything that I want. No, it means that in the midst of the ups and downs of life, according to God's perfect plan, I'm going to know the joy and happiness of following in God's path and in His way, and knowing that this is pleasing to Him. The struggle for us so many times is we want to find exceptions to loving God and loving the neighbor. And if I don't feel like it because things are really hard, well, then it's okay that I don't. The Word of God says no. There's joy and happiness in the way of wisdom, no matter what has happened to us, no matter what wrongs have been committed against me, no matter what struggles I have in my life. The way of wisdom is always right before God. Walk in that way. So this is why we seek after this wisdom. And along with that, we know that when we walk in the way of wisdom, this is glorifying to God. That in the end is why this wisdom is the principal thing in our parenting. Love God and love the neighbor. Wisdom is glorifying to God, and as the people of God who know salvation by grace alone, that's what's most important to us, isn't it? That God would be glorified in our lives, and that's what we want in the lives of our children. That our children would live for the glory of God. So we're encouraged then this morning, teach children the way of wisdom, God's wisdom. And may we as parents walk in that way of wisdom, and may we as a church walk in that way of wisdom. May we get it. Get wisdom, and with all our getting, get understanding, and may God give it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the gift of wisdom through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is all wise. We pray that Thou will grant us growing wisdom so that more and more we would put away sin and live by Thy word and truth. Help us, O God, to love Thee and to love one another. Give strength to us as parents to teach our children this principal thing. There's so many other things we may want to teach them, but may this be the main thing that we teach them, so that they would know that and remember that about us. And we pray, O God, that Thou would strengthen us as parents for this high calling, so that another generation within the church would walk according to Thy truth and walk in the way of wisdom. This we pray, knowing that Thou art a God who is able, for Thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We sing Psalter number 360. Psalter number 360. Versification of Psalm 128, which emphasizes the importance of fearing the Lord and the wisdom of that. Bless the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By thy toil thou shalt be prospered and be happy all thy days. Let's sing stanzas 1 and then 3 through 5. We'll limit stanza 2. 1 and 3 through 5 of 360. Jehovah bless thee and keep thee. Jehovah make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.